Welcome to Yalla Rocks. While Rahel specializes in rock sharky from her home base in Vancouver, Canada, today she'll be joining us to talk about her work in trauma-informed, mindfulness-based somatic practices and how she's brought that to the table to support both dancers and non-dancers alike. And she has so much great info to share. They'll go through what somatics is and some of the history behind it, as well as diving into what it means to be embodied. We'll spend some time today being a bit more cognitive about our bodies by even thinking about the fact that we have bodies in the first place. It gets really fascinating, team. Did you know that we have more than five senses? I know, right? Rahel is about to open up a whole new world for you. So join them in bringing a little more mindfulness to your body, both today here in the podcast and through their accompanying Instagram challenge. You can check out that challenge and follow Rahel online in all the places she hangs out by going to thebellydancebundle.com/100.
Hello, belly dance bundlers. This is Rahel. My pronouns are she and they, and I'm so excited and thrilled and honored to be a part of the bundle again this year, and so stoked to have the opportunity to hopefully work with some of you amazing people. Before I start yammering away, I just want to acknowledge that I am recording this on the unceded ancestral territory of the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh nations of the Coast Salish people on Turtle Island, otherwise known as Vancouver, BC, Canada. So what I want to talk a little bit about today is embodiment and somatics and how movement can be healing. My experience, a little bit about me, I have been belly dancing for 21, 22 years. I've been teaching for about 14 or 15 years. And I obtained my yoga certification, yoga teacher certification, about 12 years ago. And most recently, I got a certification in internal family systems, which is a therapy modality that focuses on parts work. It kind of takes a systemic approach, both internal and external systemic approach, and kind of psycho-spiritual approach to healing and the mind, which probably won't come up in this talk, but may come up in some of my bundle contributions. And I also have a certification in integrated somatic trauma therapy, which is a multimodal body-based approach to healing, specifically trauma, but all of those things apply to just general nervous system and stress and well-being and harmony, mental health and wellness and unwellness. And I am currently doing my master's in clinical counseling with a social justice focus at Adler University. So hopefully in the next couple years, I'll be adding the letters RCC, which means registered clinical counselor. It's the designation in my province to my label as belly dancer. So belly dancer and counselor extraordinaire. At least that's the dream. So I want to first talk about the word somatic. I've mentioned it a couple times now, and folks may have some idea of what it means. Maybe they're like, what the heck are you talking about? So somatic in the medical model refers to anything to do with the body. But the way that it's been used historically in the medical model implies a separation or a division between the mind and the body. So, for example, a psychiatrist might be referring to a mood disorder and say that, you know, a patient or a client has somatic symptoms like headaches or stomach aches, that kind of thing. But the newer approach to the word somatic draws back to the etymology, to the origin of the word, which is a Greek word, soma, which means this holistic experience of being via the integration of mind and body. So it's the experiential process of being a body, of living through a body. And so a lot of newer somatic practices are moving away from this old Cartesian duality of body and mind. If you're familiar with philosophy, we don't need to go into it, but Descartes was one of the philosophers that, you know, identified this differentiation of body and mind, sort of this idea that we're like a brain inside a meat puppet, or, you know, our soul is separate from the body and the body is kind of evil or less moral than the soul. Which has been integrated into a lot of religious practices, and from a social justice perspective is a little bit problematic because that separation can become a sticky justification for oppressing other bodies. Embodied bodies don't oppress other bodies. And so the Western world has slowly been coming around to what a lot of indigenous and old ancient Eastern practices have been understanding for a long time, which is that the mind and the body are not separate. They are integrated. They are one and the same. Your nervous system, which is how your thoughts are processed and understood, is in your body. Your nervous system is not just in your head, it's also in your gut. The majority of the serotonin in your body is produced in your gut. And the way that we perceive the world, which is then interpreted through the brain, happens through the senses, through the body. And I'll talk a little bit more about senses in probably some of my bundle contributions. But just really quickly, this might be interesting for some folks, but we have more than just our five senses. So the five senses, which is taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound, those are called exteroception. They're how we perceive the external environment, how we're using the outside of our body to experience the world. But we have more than just exteroception. We also have interoception, which is how you feel the inside of your body. It's different than touch. So how you feel that you have a stomach ache, or you have, you know, muscle tension, or a headache, or you're hungry, or you're full, those are all part of your body's internal perception. That's your interoception. And we also have proprioception, which is how your body experiences its relationship to space in itself. So when you're standing with your eyes closed and you know where down and where up is, that's proprioception. And if you were to close your eyes and bring your finger to your nose, that would also be using your proprioception to kind of feel where your nose is in space with your finger, even without being able to see it. So it's these other elements of your senses. And there's this fourth dimension of sense, which is a term that was coined recently by Stephen Porges, who is the founder of polyvagal theory. And it is neuroception. So neuroception is kind of how your nervous system perceives very basically a level of safety or lack of safety via the interpretation of your environment through your other senses. So there isn't just this kind of neutral experience of, you know, taste and touch and proprioception and how you're feeling inside, but there's also this ongoing, ever-present kind of nervous system level experience of an emotional response to what you're sensing. And so we can take that integrated emotional, physical, and cognitive approach. We understand the mind is not just separate from the body and vice versa. This can be not only super integral to healing, but also really helpful to dancers. When we are learning something new in our bodies, when we are performing, and when we are teaching, we are taking the unconscious, making it conscious in order to make it unconscious again. So we're taking things that we're not aware of yet, like noticing, oh, I don't have control of my hand. I'm just doing this like crazy helicopter flicky thing with my hand when I'm dancing, or, oh, I'm not pointing my toes, or, oh, I can't, you know, control my shimmy in this way. We're bringing awareness to it, so we're making it conscious, and we're thinking about it enough, making it conscious enough to the point that it then becomes unconscious again, that it becomes what we like to call muscle memory. Obviously, muscles don't have memories the way that our brain does, but it's a nice metaphor for kind of understanding how we can utilize an understanding of the mind and the body integration to benefit us as dancers. It's just one of the ways that we can do that. So I'm going to talk about the utilization of mind-body connection and nervous system levels of understanding and feeling safety or lack of safety in the environment in my lecture on performance psychology. And I'm also going to be offering an introduction to my embodied movement practice. So embodied movement is this modality that I've created. I don't take, full credit for it. It's not like a brand new thing. It's similar. There's some overlap to other pre-existing practices, but the specific version of the way I teach it is my creation. And I call it embodied movement. And it is a trauma-informed, mindfulness-based movement practice that is intended to help people get into their bodies, whether they experience physical pain, emotional pain, disconnection from their bodies, discomfort with movement, or insecurity around movement, or a lack of flow or creativity when it comes to dance or improvisation. So there's lots of ways of approaching it and ways that it might be beneficial to different people. I would say the majority of my students are dancers, but they don't have to be. You can benefit from this practice as a non-dancer, but I want to talk about the way that it can be beneficial to dancers. And first, I want to talk about the term embodiment. Like, what does that mean? And essentially, it means being in your body. But what does that kind of mean also? And so for me, embodiment means this kind of ongoing moment to moment becoming of more yourself through mindfulness and awareness of your body, whether it's sensation or emotion, through the body, to experience the world with more sensation and affect tolerance, which is a component of polyvagal theory, which I mentioned earlier, and to be more present. There's so much evidence to support that, the issues are in the tissues, as we like to say, or the body keeps the score, as Bessel van der Kolk says. And so for a lot of people, the key to healing, whether it's trauma or just stress or just, the hardship of living in this fast-paced world, or body image issues or insecurity or anxiety, is through embodiment, is through being able to be with in this more resilient, more aware way, and to be gentle with and to listen to the wisdom of the body. And that is practiced through embodiment, and that is cultivated through embodiment, and embodiment is cultivated through these types of practices, like embodied movement, like any type of somatic resourcing. So my hope is that dancers can find something for them in this practice, whether it is an increase in somatic resources in order to just feel better in their body, a way to find more creativity and flow, which can help with improvisation, which, we know is such a huge component of Rakshaarki. Like, before it was westernized with choreography, and done in Egypt through the Reda troupe, it's largely an improvised dance form. It's about this flow state between the dancer and the musician and the audience. And a non-embodied dancer can't do that, can't be in that flow, can't listen to the music, can't use her senses, their proprioception, their hearing and neuroception of the environment in order to create art with their body. If they're not embodied, if they're in this mind-body separation, if they're in their head, if they're in their thoughts, if they're disconnected from the body. And so simply from the perspective of more comfort when dancing on stage, more sense of safety when performing, so you're not feeling anxiety or feeling fear, and also ability to navigate mistakes, to improvise, you know, aside from the healing, you know, trauma healing component, just as a dancer, there's so many benefits to this practice of embodiment, which can be cultivated and practiced through modalities like the one that I'm offering. So thank you so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed it. And I also just want to name that this is, you know, what we were doing here is very cognitive. We're kind of talking about the body. And so I hope that I can create an invitation for you to come into practicing and experiencing on a somatic level some of the things that we're talking about, because it's a totally different experience to feel it than to talk about it and think about it. So I hope that you do something to be a little bit embodied today. You can do a quick little practice right now, and that is just to notice where you are in contact with the surface beneath you. So if you're sitting, feel where your sits bones, the back of your legs or back or on the chair or the surface beneath you. If you're standing, feel your feet on the floor. If you're walking, feel your feet on the floor in that dynamic way. Just take a moment and notice where you are in space, your relationship to gravity, and that you're in a body in this moment. Just taking this one little second for a little taste of embodiment. So I hope that that gives you a little bit of inspiration for the rest of your day. I hope you find moments of embodiment and find ways that movement can be healing for you. I'd love to hear from you if you have questions, if you have comments, if you want to share experiences, if you're unsure about what the heck I'm talking about. But I really appreciate you taking the time to listen, and I hope to see you in the bundle.